Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
A group of homeless children in the Indian capital of New Delhi publish a newspaper telling about their own lives. It is called Balaknama, which means children's voice. It is written and edited by children up to 19 years old. About 10,000 people read it. The children write about poverty, child labor, underage marriages, sexual abuse, and drugs. A homeless girl named Shano helps edit the paper.
When reports arrive and the team sits down to select the story, lots of fights break out. They argue this story will have more impact than that story. So there's a lot of debates before the final selection goes to print.
The newspaper has 70 reporters in several states and 14 in the capital. All of the reporters, editors, and managers are homeless children. Jyoti Kumari is one of the reporters.
I used to beg, do drugs, and sometimes go rag picking. Then I learned about Balaknama and began to work for it. First I was a junior reporter, then a reporter, and now I'm all set to become the editor.
Many of their parents are jobless and cannot read or write. The children now earn money, and many of them attend classes online that may help them find a job. The newspaper is published every month. It has 8 pages. In 2002, when it began operations, the newspaper was published 4 times a year. It has changed the lives of many of the children who publish it and hopes to improve the lives of thousands of others. Non-governmental organizations and charity groups support the newspaper. Sanjay Gupta leads a group that helps the children and gives money to the newspaper.
They feel very empowered and encouraged when people appreciate them. And when they talk to the authorities with the confidence and also before the media, I think this is a really powerful tool to empower them.
The newspaper costs about 3 cents. That is less than the price of a small cup of tea in India. But the small cost gives the children hope that they will someday have a home and a job. Next, John Russell tells us about new rules for the media in Turkey.
Journalists attempting to work in Turkey are facing new pressures as the government enforces a ban on insulting the president. American reporter David Lepeska was denied entry to Turkey on Monday. He told followers on social media that he was stopped at Istanbul Atatürk Airport and immediately put on a flight to Chicago. Last Sunday, Turkish police detained Dutch journalist Ebru Umar at her home in the town of Kuşadası. Her detention resulted from a series of tweets on social media. In those messages, she repeated parts of her recent story about Turkey's president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan. She was later released but told not to leave the country. Erdogan has enforced the rarely used law that makes it illegal to insult the president. Since his election in 2014, the government has brought charges against nearly 2,000 people. Many are reporters or work for media companies. Sevi Arkarcesme is a Turkish journalist. To avoid legal action, she said, most people simply say or write the palace, meaning the offices of the president. She said she has been in court not only for her tweets, but for a comment left, without her knowledge, under one of the tweets. She received a suspended jail sentence. Arkarcesme was the editor of the English-language newspaper Today's Zaman. The court seized the paper last month on suspicion of supporting terrorism. Laws against terrorism have been used against two of the country's most famous journalists. Can Dündà and Erdan Gül are with the Turkish newspaper Cumhuriyet. They were charged with publishing a story critical of the Turkish state. The article accuses the Turkish government of secretly giving weapons to Syrian rebels. The collapse of the ceasefire between Turkey and the Kurdistan Workers' Party, PKK, is seen as one reason for the government's campaign against journalists. The government argues the country is facing an unprecedented threat from the PKK and the self-declared Islamic State militant group. On Thursday, a Turkish court sentenced two journalists to 2 years in prison for inciting public hatred. But the journalists were found not guilty of insulting religious values. The charges were announced after the two reproduced a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad. The picture first appeared in the French weekly Charlie Hebdo. Concern about media freedom continues to grow among Turkey's allies, including the United States. The State Department, the European Parliament, and Council of Europe voiced their concern about legal pressure against the media in Turkey. I'm John Russell.
The latest issue dividing Americans is about public bathrooms. At issue is what bathroom, men's or women's, transgender people should use. Transgender people are born with male or female bodies, but feel they were born into the wrong sex, according to the Intersex Society of North America. The bathroom dispute is even more divisive than other cultural issues, such as same-sex marriage. People can choose to attend weddings of same-sex couples or to get married to a same-sex partner. But going to a public bathroom is something most people can't avoid. North Carolina recently passed a law requiring people to use public bathrooms for the sex listed on their birth certificates. There are calls for similar laws in other states. Supporters say such laws are needed to protect women and children from sexual attacks. Peter Sprigg is a senior fellow at the Conservative Family Research Council. He said people using public bathrooms or locker rooms have always been able to count on being separated from people of the opposite sex. Opponents of the North Carolina law say it is dangerous to transgender people, making it hard for them to do something as normal and necessary as going to the bathroom. One of the best-known transgender people is Caitlyn Jenner. She was formerly known as Bruce Jenner, an Olympic gold medal winner. She wrote that allowing transgender people to use the right bathroom is not dangerous. There have been no increases in sexual assaults in the states and cities that have laws protecting transgender people from discrimination, she said. Jenna added, the North Carolina law would lead people to demand that women and girls prove they are actually female to use a bathroom. Some people have called for boycotts of North Carolina and Mississippi, which passed a law allowing businesses to refuse service to same-sex couples. A boycott is when people deny business to a state, company, or other group. Peyton McGarry, 20, is one of those who opposed the bathroom law in North Carolina. He is suing to remove the law. McGarry said his birth certificate says he was born a girl, but he felt like a male since he was a young child. Since he started getting hormone treatments 2 years ago, his voice has deepened and his face and body became more masculine in appearance, according to his lawsuit. McGarry said that would make it uncomfortable both for him and for women using a woman's bathroom. In high school, he said, he got pushed and hit every time I went into a female bathroom. The North Carolina law says people can use either the bathrooms for the sex listed on birth certificates or bathrooms for both sexes. But McGarry said there are very few bathrooms for both males and females at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, where he's about to enter his junior year. Being able to go to the bathroom is something that we all need to do, he told VOA. Musicians Bruce Springsteen, Pearl Jam, and Nick Jonas canceled concerts in North Carolina because they view the bathroom law as discriminatory. And New York State joined the cities of Seattle and San Francisco in banning most government-funded trips to North Carolina. The National Basketball Association and the National Collegiate Athletic Association said they may move sporting events outside North Carolina in protest. A number of American businesses, including American Airlines, Apple, and Dow Chemical, have also criticized the law. One business, Target, has nearly 1,800 stores across the United States. About 50 stores are in North Carolina. Target said customers and employees could choose the bathroom they feel most comfortable using at the stores. The American Family Association recently called for a boycott of Target. Tim Wildman is the president of the association. He said Target's policy means a man can simply say, he feels like a woman today, and enter the women's bathroom, even if young girls or women are already in there. Target responded by saying that it understands some people might disagree with the store's policy, and that it offers small bathrooms at many stores for use by both men and women. As a company that firmly stands behind what it means to offer our team an inclusive place to work and our guests an inclusive place to shop, we continue to believe that this is the right thing for Target, the company said. The bathroom issue is also subject of a court case in Virginia. A court ruled April 18th that a Virginia school board was wrong to stop transgender student Gavin Grimm, 16, from using the boys' bathroom at his high school. The court said that policy is discriminatory. The ruling could help those suing over North Carolina's transgender bathroom rule. I'm Bruce Alpert.
Next, Anne Ball tells us about a recent discovery related to dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs, those big prehistoric creatures, may have already been decreasing in population long before an asteroid crashed into the Earth and killed them. Until now, it was thought that an asteroid or meteorite that hit the Earth 66 million years ago was the main reason the reptiles became extinct. But a new study finds that they may have already been decreasing in numbers millions of years before that. Dr. Manabu Sakamoto is a dinosaur expert, a paleontologist at the University of Reading in the United Kingdom. He led the research in the new study. "We were not expecting this result," Sakamoto said. "The effect of the asteroid hitting the Earth is still considered the main reason for the dinosaurs' final disappearance," Sakamoto said. "But," he added, "it is clear that they were already past their prime in an evolutionary sense." In other words, Sakamoto means that dinosaurs were already starting to disappear from the land before the asteroid struck the Earth. The researchers studied the fossil record. Fossils are remains of plants or animals that lived in ancient times that one can now see in some rocks. The new study says that 50 million years before the asteroid struck Earth, there was a decline of all types of dinosaurs. The long-necked sauropods were decreasing more quickly than other kinds of dinosaurs. The population of dinosaurs, like the fierce Tyrannosaurus rex, was decreasing at a slower rate than other dinosaurs. Sakamoto called the results of the study groundbreaking. "Once again, it will change our understanding of the fate of these mighty creatures," Sakamoto said. He also said that while the asteroid may have been what finally led to their extinction, something else had already been preventing dinosaurs from evolving new species as fast as old species were dying out. Sakamoto said, "This suggests that for tens of millions of years before they finally died out from the asteroid effects, dinosaurs were beginning to lose their position as the leading animals on Earth. Dinosaurs ruled the Earth for about 150 million years." Mike Benton was the co-author of the new study. He is a paleontology professor at the University of Bristol. He said that dinosaurs had lost their ability to evolve or change quickly enough to deal with environmental changes on the planet. Some of these changes came from volcanic activity and the breaking up of continental land masses. When the asteroid hit the Earth, its force was so strong it blew rocks and dust and particles up into the atmosphere, covering the Earth. That stopped the sunlight from reaching the ground, so plants could not grow. With their food supply gone, the dinosaurs died off too. Some scientists believe the asteroid hit the Earth in an area that is now part of Mexico. The study is published in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. I'm Anne Ball.
The European Space Agency plans to build a base on the moon. The agency said it would like a moon village to be in working order in 20 years. Johann Dietrich Warner is the Director General of the European Space Agency. He said building a permanent base on the moon is a stepping stone and a test bed for a visit to Mars. The American space agency NASA has set a goal of sending humans to Mars in the 2030s. I think we should go first to the moon and then further on, Warner said. The effort to set up the moon base is expected to be a collaborative one among countries that have or are developing space programs. That would include the United States, Russia, China, and India. Warner said the village would be used for scientific experiments. He added the moon's minerals and other resources would be used to build and maintain the base. It has been more than 50 years since men visited the moon. Apollo 17 Commander Gene Cernan was the last man to walk on the Earth's only natural satellite on December 14, 1972. I'm Mario Ritter.
This is what's trending today. The bald eagle is the only national animal of the United States. But that could soon change. The U.S. government may soon recognize the bison as the national mammal. This week, both houses of Congress approved a bill called the National Bison Legacy Act. The bill would officially recognize the wild animal as the national mammal. The measure now goes to President Barack Obama. If he signs the bill, it becomes a law. Bison, also called buffalo, are the largest land animals in North America. They are hairy and have a big head and short horns. U.S. lawmakers called the bison a sign of American strength. Senator Martin Heinrich of New Mexico spoke in support of the bill. He said that recognition of our new national mammal will bring a new source of pride for Americans, just like the bald eagle, and bring greater attention to protecting the species. Many years ago, bison were almost extinct in North America. On social media, many people expressed support for the move. They also praised Republican and Democratic lawmakers for being able to agree on something. But one reporter joked on social media that choosing the bison as the national mammal was bad news for humans. Human beings, of course, are also mammals. Bison already appear on the state flags of Kansas and Wyoming. Bison are also on the official seal of the U.S. Department of the Interior. Tens of millions of bison once lived throughout an area stretching from central Canada south through the Great Plains and northern Mexico. After many years of hunting, the population fell to about 1,000 or fewer by the late 1800s. Now there are about 30,000 wild bison. The largest population lives in Yellowstone National Park. Efforts to give the bison special recognition began about 5 years ago. Native Americans on the Intertribal Buffalo Council joined with wildlife groups to create a National Bison Day. The observance recognizes the importance of the animal's role in providing food, shelter, and clothing for many Native Americans before European settlement. National Bison Day is held on the first Saturday in November. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
Using the term bird brain is one way to insult another person's intelligence. That is because a bird's brain is small. So anyone with such a bird-sized brain was thought to be not that intelligent. But calling someone a bird brain might not be as insulting as it once was. That finding comes from a study of the mental abilities of birds. Two European scientists reported that at least two kinds of birds, crows and parrots, can think logically. A crow or parrot can recognize itself when the bird sees its image in a mirror. The scientists say crows and parrots can also feel empathy. In other words, they are able to understand and share the experiences and emotions of other birds. According to researchers, these abilities are as sophisticated and diverse as those of apes. However, the brains of birds and those of apes are different. The brain of a bird does not have a neocortex. The neocortex controls thinking and remembering, one's cognitive skills. A bird brain is also much smaller than the brain of a monkey or other ape. So, how can birds perform as well as mammals in some activities? Researchers in Germany suggest that different methods of complex thinking developed independently in birds and mammals. The researchers found that the brains of birds and mammals do have different structures, but there are also similarities in the brain architecture. The brains of both creatures have what is called a prefrontal structure that controls similar high-level functions. The researchers propose a separate path of development for the similarities. The reason? Both species faced the same challenges for survival. The researchers noted that neither a multi-layered cortex nor a big brain is required for complex mental skills. They reported their findings in the journal Trends in Cognitive Sciences. I'm Anna Mateo.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.